the cases. You sent me some information here. And apparently on the website, right, some of the there are people, they tell their stories.
Yes, on video, YouTube video, and we've got them linked to our website, Steubenville Truth, yes.
Steubenvilletruth.org.
Yes.
Okay, let's take, for example, the case of Beth. Okay, her story is posted on the website.
Yes, it is.
And she is a victim of allegedly so, of abuse somewhere, let's say, in Ohio.
Right.
All right. In a nutshell, what can you tell us about that particular case if people want to go online and explore that case or the another, what we'll call another young lady in this, Lori, I believe, is somebody
Lori, yes.
You know very well.
Lori has given me permission to tell you her story. She's a mother, age 42 right now, and she's lived most of her life in fear. Her abuse started when she was 15 years old. And the thing that she worries about now is she's a second victim of a perpetrator. And she worries because when she was abused, when she was 15, in the rectory, she saw photographs of her friends that were in high school, and they were in frames all around. And one photograph was on the priest's nightstand. When she didn't realize it at that age or think too much of it, but now when she thinks about it, she's worried. This is a strange thing for a priest to have pictures of teenage girls framed in his rectory. That's just uncommon. And so now she's worried that there's more victims out there, and she is reaching out to these other victims to please come forward. She has a statement that I can read to you.
Yes.
When this first came back up, I was scared to death and prayed for it all to go away. But now that I have faced a lot of this, I feel so much better. The best thing any survivor can do for themselves is learn how these predators work and who makes a great victim. I fit that picture perfectly and fell right into his trap.
And that's just her message.
Yes.
Okay. And again, what you advise anybody from any denomination in
exactly.
Regardless, you know, that if you are a victim of abuse by clergy, regardless of whether whether it's Episcopalians, Presbyterians, Greek Orthodox,
right.
Rabbis,
exactly.
The whole thing. You're saying don't go running to your bishop or your diocese or your rabbis, superiors, or whatever. Go to the police.
Exactly. You can go to these people if you want to, but go to the police first. Get it on record, because then it can't be manipulated or it can't be hushed up, covered up. The problem is none of these want to have scandals. And they are told, usually, if they go to any of these, they're told that they're the only one. They go through life, a lot of them to age 60 and 70 years old, thinking they're the only one. That is such a rare thing. That a pedophile usually, well, the one with my family members and relatives, mm-hmm. we think there's probably at least 100 victims out there.
100?
And yes, and they are still, lots of them, still silent. And
what percent, just based on the research that your people associated with your organization have done, what percent actually come forward and what percent actually are silently living with these issues perhaps for decades? Is there any way to know
I don't
that?
I don't have a percentage. All I know is since SNAP really got going, mm-hmm. and they've started the support groups and started reaching out and starting getting the news out, the truth. That's been the hardest thing, to get the truth out, because people don't want to believe this. It's a something that is just... I can give an example.
I understand it. It's hard for a lot of people to come to grips with or to comprehend. Is one way that people can start the catharsis process, the process of you know, getting it, you know, off of their chests, and because a lot of times people keep, you know, their innermost secrets inside and they don't, you know, they don't come out. Is one way to do that to contact your organization?
Exactly. Yes. Contact SNAP. Barb Doris is the outreach director.
Barb, where can she be? Is she here locally?
She's in St. Louis.
She's in St. Louis. All right. Give us a telephone number if somebody out there knows of someone or is a victim of this type of abuse or has been at some point in their lives. What is a telephone number that they can call perhaps to have a private consultation with somebody and sort of have a counseling or a one-on-one with someone that will help them?
It's not so much counseling, but it's confidential. Their privacy is very guarded and respected. The phone I can give you one phone number is 314-566-9790.
Repeat that again.
314-566-9790.